Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you a happy Thursday on this 30th day of January 2025. And I am thrilled that, God willing, we are back finally to airing the broadcast live daily, Monday through Friday, with few exceptions, airing reruns here and there, rather than that being the predominant makeup of the broadcast. There were many factors involved for the very long hiatus. The primary one, as many of you already know, was my health. I've been battling congestive heart failure, in and out of the hospital, and then was traveling, was able to travel to Long Island, New York, my old stomping grounds, to MC a conference that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio was hosting with First Love Ministries and First Love Radio at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York. And we had as our keynote speaker Dr. Conrad Mbewe, my favorite preacher of all time. I think he's the most powerful preacher alive on the planet Earth, and that is not an exaggeration. He is pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and the founding chancellor of African Christian University. You can hear those messages by all four of the speakers at that conference on YouTube. Just type in the YouTube search engine, First Love Ministries 2025 Pastors Conference, and all of the videos will come up. Dr. Conrad Mbewe, thankfully, by the mercy and good providence of God, enabled Dr. Conrad Mbewe and myself to visit a very dear, longtime mutual friend of both of ours, Gary Wolf, who lives or lived on Long Island up until last week. Or 2 weeks ago, I should say. Gary was battling stomach cancer, and Dr. Mbewe and I wanted desperately to see Gary because we knew it would be likely the last time we saw him face-to-face this side of glory. We did visit him in his home where he was receiving hospice care at home. When we were there, his dear wife, Cynthia, was taking care of him. And we were so glad that we had the opportunity to share fellowship with Gary. Dr. Mbewe ministered to Gary so beautifully, so compassionately, so tenderly, so biblically, because Gary was very afraid of dying, even though he was a true, regenerate, born-again brother in Christ. We have nothing but the utmost confidence of that. But people react to facing death differently. And Gary was very afraid to die. And turns out our Lord had mercy on Gary and took him home to himself safely for eternity a lot earlier than the doctors had held out for him in their prognosis. He died about, I believe, 6 months prior to the expected date of his passing. And so I think that was just a pure act of mercy on God, because God, being omniscient, of course, knew that Gary was so afraid. So he brought an end to that fear fairly abruptly. But I thank all of you for your prayers. Before I forget, let me throw out another prayer, urgent prayer request for my sister, Mary, who also lives on Long Island. She has seriously, dangerously poor circulation problems, which have resulted in a wound in her foot that is not healing. It has been going on for years. And so the doctors have finally reached a point where they intend to amputate either part of her foot or her entire leg up to above the knee. They have not yet made a decision on that. Please pray for my sister Mary, that the surgery goes well, that she would be given by God a peace of mind and heart over this, that her faith would prove to be genuine, total trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his death on Calvary. My sister is a Roman Catholic, so I do have my concerns about where she's placing her trust, although she gives great evidence that she's putting her whole trust in Christ. Please pray for her. And I just thank all of you, the hundreds of responses I've been receiving from all of you, or many of you, I should say, encouraging me that you are praying for me and my loved ones, and I will never be able to thank you all enough. But today, I am thrilled to have an old friend back on the program. His name is Dr. Tony Costa. If you have been listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with any considerable length of time and consistency, his name should not be foreign to your memory banks. Dr. Tony Costa teaches biblical archaeology and the Gospels at the University of Toronto. He's an author. He is a conference speaker. He is a theological debater with a lot of expertise, especially in the area of Islam, but that is not the only topic over which my guest has a great depth of knowledge and understanding. And he has debated quite a number of different people over quite a spectrum of religious backgrounds and themes. And today we're discussing his new book, No King But Christ, The Collapse and Bankruptcy of Secular Worldviews. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, my dear longtime friend, Dr. Tony Costa.
Chris, as always, it's always, always a pleasure to be with you, brother. In fact, I miss it at times.
Yeah, I miss your friendship greatly, and I hope that you and I are involved in projects in 2025, many more. In fact, let me just throw this out there, put you on the spot and embarrass you if you reject my invitation. But I am aware of a Nazarene pastor who would like to debate someone on my show on the ordination of women. He is a man. Of course, I just gave that away by saying he. But he defends, as does the Nazarene denomination, the ordination of women, although he and many in his denomination are not liberal, although there is a tragic growing number within the ranks of the Nazarene denomination who are getting softer on the sin of homosexuality and other things. But they are, many of the congregations and leaders in that denomination are conservative, albeit their defense of the ordination of women. So he would like to debate someone on that issue, and he would also like to debate the theme of reaching total sinlessness of conscious sin on this earth while we are still alive. He does not like sinless perfectionism as a label for that, because he believes that every Christian sins unconsciously about things, but he thinks it's possible for us to be totally free of conscious sin. So you think those would be two issues you would like to debate on my show with this Nazarene pastor?
Yeah, sure. Sure, Chris. I'd be happy to.
Well, I'll try to arrange that. Sure. Well, let me, as I'm even just speaking to you, give the audience our email address in the event that they'd like to join us with a question of their own. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. But, Tony, this phrase that those who are true disciples of Christ, this phrase beautifully rings in our ears, no king but Christ. But not long ago, it became a phrase that evoked controversy. It was involving Candace Owen and people accusing her of using that as an anti-Semitic slur. Obviously, there are wicked individuals who could be rightly labeled racist, even though I hate that term because there's only one race, the human race. But there are people who are indeed white supremacists and anti-Semites who have used that phrase to bludgeon verbally the Jewish people and anyone else who is not a so-called Christian, although we would say that these people are not Christian at all. They don't understand the first thing about the Gospels and so on. They probably, very few of them have probably even cracked open a Bible and read it. But even though this has been misused, I don't believe Candace Owen was misusing it. I have my own differences with her, as do you, on other issues. She is a Roman Catholic, a convert to Roman Catholicism.
Right.
But that stirred up some controversy. But we believe that this is a beautiful truth that we are unashamed to declare. But what were the compelling factors that led you to start tickling the keypads of your computer to write this book?
Yeah, I think that the kingship of Christ, Chris, is something that we don't emphasize enough. We do speak a lot about the lordship of Christ. We talk about the Lord Jesus as Savior and so forth, but his kingship is front and center to his identity. Is extremely important because it communicates his office as the supreme sovereign over all things. And so the idea of kingship to many Americans, of course, the United States is a republic, and it's had a history where it rejected monarchy back in the days of George III in the Declaration of Independence. But the idea of kingship is so central to the identity not just of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it is rooted in the Old Testament, where God is presented as the supreme, the king, the sovereign over creation, and the lawgiver, the one who gives the law, the source of all goodness and purpose and morality. And also, we need to understand that God created the first human pair to be his vice regents on the earth. So when he made the first human pair in his image, he gave them dominion over the earth and the fish of the sea and the beasts of the field and the fowl of the air. And that language of dominion and subduing is regal language. It's royal language. And even the terms image of God. It was a term that was used of the king in the ancient Near East and the neighboring nations of Israel. The kings were called the image of the God. The kings were called the son of the God. And this type of language was also shared by Israel when they spoke of their king. And so the concept of monarchy, while it may be somewhat foreign to American ears because of the revolution and of course, the republic, etc., it is a central tenet of biblical theology. And it is used to speak as God, of God as the supreme sovereign. It speaks of the primacy of Christ over all things. And even his messianic identity, Chris, the Messiah, the Mashiach, the anointed one, is language that goes back to the monarchy as well. Kings were anointed with oil. And so the very word Christ or Messiah denotes the concept of kingship. It also denotes the Lord Jesus as the priest, because priests were also anointed with oil, and prophets were anointed with oil. And so the triple offices of Christ, of king and prophet and priest, are subsumed under the title Messiah or Christ. So every time you and I say Christ or the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingship of Christ is implicit in that title.
So what would be unique about the application of king to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? There are some who would take that phrase in a strict sense that would make any earthly king anywhere on the globe illegitimate. We who are Americans, unlike you folks north of the border up there, have always, since the founding of this nation, having been liberated from the yoke of the royal throne in England, Americans have always had a disdain for the idea of a king here. Not necessarily for other countries having kings, but there are some who would say no country should have a king anywhere, but especially we should never have the return to a monarchy and having a king or a queen here. And then others say, well, the Bible doesn't prohibit other earthly kings other than Christ. Tell us, how is that latter view compatible with the fact that we have no king but Jesus? Is there a different realm in which we could say that with fullness of truth while allowing for a political office known as a king?
Right. Well, kingship, Chris, is the oldest form of government that we have in human history. The oldest documents we have from Sumeria all speak of kingship as the rule, the government of the people. It is the oldest form of government. And as I said, it was a concept that was shared with all the ancient Near Eastern folks that were associated with Israel. And of course, the question is, where does that kingship come from? Well, even the ancient Canaanites and ancient Sumerians, they recognized kingship came from heaven. And when it talks about kingship coming down from heaven and societies were being established, the gods are the ones who established the monarchy. So when we look at the evolution of human history, and I mean evolution not in a biological Darwinian sense, but in the development of human history, we find that kings ruled. That was the way of governance, was kingship. And the Bible recognizes various human kings, of course, Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus the Great, Darius, and even Pharaoh was king of Egypt that Moses confronted. There are human kings, and the medieval period of Western Europe was dominated by kingship. and the divine right of kings and so forth. And the Bible accepts this, that these kings have been appointed by God. That's why in 1 Timothy 2:1, Paul says that I request that prayers be made for kings and rulers and those in authority. And 1 Peter, it speaks about fear of the king and fear God and obey the king or the emperor in the first century context. So the book of Revelation points out, Chris, that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, and not just King of Kings, but Lord of Lords. And so that implies that he is the king over all human kings, that they are all subservient to him, and they derive their right to rule through him.
And it also implies that there are other kings.
Correct, correct. In Revelation 1:5, it says that Jesus Christ is the ruler of the kings of the earth. And so, obviously, it's there. Psalm 2, why do the people imagine a vague thing? Why do the kings of the earth, they've gathered together against the Lord and his anointed? And so, in Psalm 2, you have this tension between the rulers of the earth, the kings of the earth, and they're opposing Yahweh and his anointed, his Messiah. And Yahweh speaks to them in his anger and says, I've appointed my king on my holy hill of Zion. And then he tells us that that king is his son. You are my son. And today I've begotten you. Ask of me and I'll make the nations your inheritance. So this idea of Christ being king goes right back to Genesis 3:15 with the seed of the woman. It develops over Revelation history, where he is to come from Shem, the son of Noah. He is to come through Abraham's lineage. Abraham, of course, if you look at his life, Chris, Abraham himself was a prophet of God. He was a priest. He offered sacrifice to God. He was also a king because he was the ancestor, obviously, of David. And he also did battle with the kings to get Lot back, to recover Lot from the abduction of the various kings who took him. And if you look at God's election of Israel in Exodus 4:22, he calls Israel his son, my firstborn son. And then in Exodus 19, verse 6, he says, you are a kingdom of priests unto me. And so God had established that his people collectively would be his son. That is, again, this is the sonship language that is associated with the king, and that his people are a kingdom of priests. And in 1 Peter 2:9, Peter takes that and he says to the church, you are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. And then, of course, in Revelation 1:4-5, it says that Christ has made us a kingdom of priests to serve his God. So just like our great priest king in heaven, our great high priest, who is the priest king, Christ has established you and I, Chris, as a royal priesthood. And what that means is that through him, by the Holy Spirit, we reign with him spiritually at this point, spiritually, and then physically at his advent, as his second advent. But what we are doing in Christ is we are reclaiming what Adam lost. Adam was given that dominion over the earth, and they were to rule as God's viceroys on the earth. And of course, they forfeited that by rejecting the king and by listening to Satan and basically thinking, well, we can be our own kings. I don't need God as king. I can be my own king, and I could rule and determine my destiny. In fact, if Satan tempted them, they could be as God, knowing good and evil.
Well, we're going to our first commercial break. And as I said earlier, if you have a question for Dr. Tony Costa on our theme, No King But Christ, The Collapse and Bankruptcy of Secular Worldviews, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, city and state of residence, and country of residence. We'll be right back.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired Word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. You believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com will enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is my old, longtime friend, Dr. Tony Costa. And he is a prolific writer and a conference speaker and debater and theologian, and just I'm thrilled to have him back on the program to discuss his latest book, No King But Christ. If you have a question, submit it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. Perhaps you could now turn your magnifying glass on your subtitle, The Collapse and Bankruptcy of Secular Worldviews.
Yeah, that subtitle, Chris, is meant to show that all forms of government that we have had in human history and still have today, whether it's monarchy or whether it's oligarchy or socialism, communism, or even democracy, dictatorship, etc., all of these have been attempts for humans to rule without God. That is to say that these are attempts for humans to maintain governance and maintain law and order. And even democracy, which is the best that we have right now, democracy is still not perfect. I mean, we have seen this, for example, in the past administration of Harris and Biden, and how democracy sometimes can be manipulated, and it can bring about sometimes results that are not conducive to the Christian worldview.
In fact, the founding fathers of the United States, they actually despised the actual real definition of democracy, and that's why they preferred to view it as a constitutional republic, because democracy basically to them meant mob rule.
Yes, yes. It means the rule of the people. So, yes, you're right. And so and that can go either way. So the whole argument there, Chris, is that if we look at the history of the world up to the present point, what we find is that governments, when they reject God as the source of law, which the founding fathers of the United States understood that God was the one that gave us human rights, that these are inalienable rights, that they don't come from ourselves or the government, that they are rights that God confers on us because we are his image bearers. When we turn against that idea of God as the sovereign and as the lawgiver, and this ties into kingship again, in the ancient world, the king was the lawgiver as well. And this is why in Deuteronomy 17, the king in Israel was to make a copy of the Torah. He was to write a copy of the Torah and study it so that he'd be able to administer justice. And this is where we see Solomon, for example, where God grants him wisdom to rule the people. But on top of that, God gives him wealth so that the Solomonic era becomes really the zenith of Israel's history until Solomon's apostasy. And so the king is the lawgiver, and he receives the law from God, and he is the one who is to enforce. Also the shepherds. So in the ancient world, the kings were shepherds of their people. And so you begin to see all of this starts to come together, that God chose David, who was a shepherd of his father's sheep, Jesse, and then God took him from the sheepfold and made him king over his people, a man after his own heart. And of course, Moses was a prince in Egypt, and then he ran off, and for 40 years he was a shepherd of the sheep of Midian. And then the last 40 years of his life, God used him to become the deliverer of the people, to bring them out of Egypt and receive the law from God, etc. And so what we find, Chris, is that when you look at the book of Judges is like a template. It shows us what life is like without God. It basically says in the time of the Judges, this was a time when people did what was right in their own eyes. But then it makes this interesting comment, because there was no king in Israel. And so the king there in the book of Judges is being spoken of as the stabilizing foundation of order, law and order, and morality within the nation. And it's no surprise that right after the book of Judges, you have this little book of Ruth, and the last word in the book of Ruth is David. And so Ruth is already preparing us for the rise of the monarchy. She's a matriarchal ancestor of the Messiah, of our Lord. She's mentioned in Matthew 1:5 in the genealogy. And she's also the matriarchal ancestor of David. So what I'm saying with that subtitle, Chris, is that if you look at the history of the world, what we find is every time nations turned against God or rejected his law, what this has resulted in is abuse. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. You see this in the reigns of King Louis, the Sun King in France, right before the French Revolution, where they abolished the monarchy. You also see it with King George III when America was part of the British colonies, and the colonies were saying, "Look, no taxation without representation. If you don't represent us in the Parliament, then why should we be paying taxes to the crown?" And so you've seen abuses there. You see abuses with oligarchies. You see it with the rise of Marxism, and how people's lives are, the sanctity of life is removed, and so on. And it all goes back to, Chris, a rejection of God as our King. And of course, in the New Covenant, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, as the King of Kings. And what I demonstrate in my book, Chris, is I deal with the subject of social justice and wokeism, how it has utterly destroyed the West. I mean, thank God President Trump has been already moving to reverse the incredible damage that Biden and Harris inflicted on the United States in terms of wokeism and transgenderism and the rot that was just in the United States with all the illegal immigrants in the country committing crimes and so forth. And so what I argue, Chris, is that all these forms of secular worldviews, they're all bankrupt. They're falling apart. They're collapsing. Same here with Canada. We are in a very dire predicament right now with the fact that our parliament has been prorogued. That is, it's been basically dissolved until a new leader of the a new person is chosen to replace Justin Trudeau. But Canada has just been reeling with one of the highest taxations in the G7. Almost about 50% of our income, Chris, goes to taxes. And now with President Trump's tariffs that he's going to be enforcing, I believe, this Saturday, the 1st of February, this is just going to cause fuel prices to go up in Canada and so forth. But a lot of that has to do with irresponsible government. Our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, is a godless man, a wicked man, has no regard for God or his law, has no regard for the sanctity of life in the womb or even in old age. And so the transgenderism in Canada, you can be charged for hate crimes. And so all of this demonstrates that we need to come back to our king. And this is why I have called in my book, Chris, I speak of the final form of government that will be in place when Christ returns. I call it theocratic monarchy. And so this is God reigning through his king, through the Lord Jesus. And that is the one government that that scripture speaks of. That is the government that the book of Revelation predicts. The kingdoms of the world will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And so until then, Chris, we continue to see the destructive consequences of holding to views that divorce God from the sanctity of life, divorce God from what it means to be human. And I think we're seeing this right now in the West. I mean, the West is in huge, huge trouble. By the West, I mean Western Europe, France, Germany, the United Kingdom, and of course, until recent, the United States was really, really regressing.
Okay, we have Hargrove in Schenectady, New York, who wants to know, does anyone you know in Canada, especially from among those that agree with you theologically and politically, do any of them give a serious thought to President Trump's offer to Canada to become a 51st state?
Yes. And so for the record, I would welcome that as well.
Really?
I have no problem. Oh, yes. I have no problem, Chris. We are really at a breaking point here, and I'll be honest with you, Chris, as long as if we do become the 51st state, as long as we have a maple leaf on the flag instead of a star, so we'll have 50 stars with one maple leaf. But to be quite honest with you, Chris, we were just recently in Florida in the United States, and we love America. It is indeed the land of the free and the home of the brave, and I believe that the U.S. Constitution is the greatest piece of legislation in the world. And I speak as a Canadian in saying that. So I personally would have no objection to it. I know friends of mine here who would have no objection to it. They're just sick and tired of the woke government of Justin Trudeau. He has really driven this beautiful country into the ground. And this is why he is the most disliked person in Canada.
Wow. So, I'm assuming then that, that you have not, had your views, your high views of Donald Trump diminished by this public.
Oh, no, not at all.
Declaration.
I think Donald, I mean, yeah, he's not perfect, but I think President Donald Trump loved this country. He puts America first, and that's what every national elected leader is supposed to do. That's why they are elected, for that purpose. And so I really respect him from the get-go, affirming male and female are the only two genders that we will hold to. He's banning the sexual transitioning of children, where their body parts are butchered and so forth. I'm really happy to see that. I'm glad to see that RFK today in the hearings, he put Bernie Sanders and Pocahontas in their place after disclosing how much money they've been paid off by pharmaceuticals. And so I'm seeing a government that wants to be transparent. I think their deportation of illegals is absolutely crucial. You know, Chris, up here in Canada, in Edmonton, in Alberta, there were some Canadians who had these signs up saying, deport them all. That is, deport all the illegals. You know, the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, which is the equivalent of your FBI, is now investigating these Canadians just for putting up these signs, deport them all. Just think about that for a minute. They had no problem with the pro-Palestinians calling for genocide from the river to the sea. Palestine will be free. No problem with that. No problem with calling for the death of Jews. But when Canadians simply say, deport them all, deport all these illegals, the Canadian Federal Police is now examining this as a potential racist crime, which is absolutely ridiculous.
And most of the folks that I've heard publicly, even those that would be conservative, are not at all in favor of any kind of joining of the union of the United States and becoming the 51st state. But it's interesting that you have that view. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I agree. And there's some of my colleagues here in Canada, Minister. Trump is saying what he's saying. So, I would not be adverse to it.
Huh? Well, that's fascinating to know. We have, Prudence in East.
Sorry, Chris, you cut off there. You cut off a little bit.
Yeah, you cut off too. Can you hear me now? Can you hear? Yeah. Okay. We have Prudence in East Islip, Long Island, New York, who wants to know, does your book address the in-house divisions that exist even among very like-minded conservative Christians regarding how we address these secular powers that attempt to be rivals with Christ? There are radically different points of view on this that would include Christian nationalism, theonomy, and other views, which would be more of a separation of church and state understanding.
Yes, I do. I don't go into great detail about that, but I do make mention of that. I'm not a theonomist. I'm not a postmillennial or a reconstructionist. I don't believe that the church is going to build a Christian nation and for Christ to return. Christianity has attempted this before. We call this theocracy, and they have attempted this before. The Anabaptists in Munster tried to do this, and it led to very, very severe consequences, and it led to they were stomped out by the Roman Catholic and the Lutheran armies of Munster. And of course, the Muslims have been trying to do this. The Ayatollahs have been trying to create a theocracy on the earth, an Islamic state, and so forth. And of course, we know Calvin did that to some extent in Geneva. But the problem here is it doesn't work. The only time we will have a true theocracy is when the king returns. When the king, Christ Jesus, returns, then we will have a true theocracy where Christ the King reigns and everything will be subject to him. Every knee will bow to him. Every tongue will confess. So I love my postmillennial brothers. I have great respect for them. I've spoken at their conferences. I don't hold to that. I do believe my view would be more akin to the two kingdom view of you've got the kingdom of God and then you've got these earthly kingdoms. And that we pray that thy kingdom come. We do pray for the kingdom of God to come in its physical manifestation. But in the meantime, as Christians, we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And we are called to keep governments accountable. Much like John the Baptist called out Herod for taking his brother's wife to bed. And he spoke against political corruption, as did our Lord when he spoke of Herod as the fox and so forth. But I don't believe that the answer lies in converting Canada into a Christian nation or the United States. It just, on this side of eternity, it does not work. And I don't believe it will work.
And of course, you mentioned the two kingdom view. That is not a monolithic group either. There are some that take the non-involvement of churches in the political arena to much more extreme than I believe you would.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
So none of those labels are represented by a monolith. There are theonomists right. who are rabidly opposed to many of the most vocal Christian nationalists. And there are right. Christian nationalists who believe that that label is being misused by some of the people who identify that way. So there is not really an agreed single definition on this.
That's right. That's right.
And so for the sake of those of you who are listening, who may be vehemently opposed to two-kingdom theology, as Dr. Costa said, he does not really focus on those issues in his book. And also, people have got to really expand their willingness to explore the views of other brothers in Christ, keeping yourself in a box and just being involved in an echo chamber or, you know, having somebody preach to the choir, that stunts growth. And I'm not saying that we should waste our time with a lot of the garbage that is available in print and in the media. You know, obviously there's only 24 hours in a day, and at least 8 of those should be for sleeping. So, but at the same time, I know too many people that are overly sectarian when they adopt a view they don't want anything to do with those on an representing a different understanding of these issues and many other issues.
Right, right. Let me just make a caveat, Chris, is that while I'm not a theonomist, I do believe that Christians are obligated to obey God rather than men, Acts 5:29. And so that means that whenever the government violates a moral precept of God's law, it is incumbent on Christians to resist that. And so if the government seeks to violate your Christian conscience, or if it seeks to impose laws that violate God's laws, then I think there is a place for Christians to say no and to resist wicked rulers.
Well, we are going to our midway break right now. Please be patient with us, as it is always a little longer than the other breaks in the show. And that is required of us because the SEC requires Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida, to localize geographically this program to Lake City, Florida, and they do so with their own public service announcements and other local things they air in the middle of the show. So please be patient with us. We, on the other hand, by the way, while Grace Life Radio airs local things, we air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the contact information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you can, and try to at least contact those advertisers to thank them for sponsoring the show. And also, of course, send in your questions to Dr. Tony Costa, to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery,
built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from a tie in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. And now, they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hail the power of Jesus' name.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is Dr. Tony Costa, and we are discussing his brand new book, No King But Christ. But before we return to that discussion, I just have some important announcements to make. If you love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or a credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way through your local post office, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we would love to receive your donations. But please remember that we never want anybody to cut into the finances that you have set aside specifically for giving to your own local church in order to bless us with a financial gift. In other words, never give your own church where you're a member less money than you normally give your church because you want to bless us. Supporting the local pastor, as long as he's biblically faithful, of course, has always been a main goal and emphasis of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So we never want to harm the local church and pastor that are biblically faithful. We never want to harm them in any way, including financially. So never give your own church less money to bless us. And also remember, if you are really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a gift. The Bible's clear that we are primarily to use the money with which he has blessed us, which is still his money. We're primarily to use that money to provide for church and family. And providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God. But if you love the show and you have extra money above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you don't want us to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you are without a church home that is biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, theologically sound, and doctrinally solid, well, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have extensive lists spanning the entire globe of churches that are biblically faithful. In fact, I have on many occasions helped Dr. Tony Costa up there in Toronto find churches globally for students and other acquaintances of his who are looking for biblically faithful churches. He regularly contacts me for such recommendations. But no matter where in the world you live, if you need a biblically faithful church home, send me an email at chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to Dr. Tony Costa. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. So, Dr. Costa, if you could, especially for the sake of those who tuned in late, summarize the main emphasis that you are seeking to drive home under this topic of no king but Christ, which obviously is a huge umbrella, and there could be many books written with that title or subtitle, but they would be involving different aspects of that. So please try to give our listeners a handful of important truths that you are seeking to convey in this new book.
Yes. Well, speaking of Christ as King, of course, we want to convey the supremacy of Christ over all things, the primacy of Christ. You know, Colossians 1:18 says that in all things he might have the preeminence or the primacy. And so what I do in the book, Chris, is I emphasize the supremacy of Christ over everything. His kingship covers the whole universe. It covers our lives. It covers our families, our jobs. It covers our church life, church worship. And connected to that kingship, of course, is our surrender to him. And there's a chapter, my first chapter begins with Christ versus Caesar, and I speak of them as royal rivals. And at the end of the day, we need to ask ourselves, well, who is my supreme authority in my life? Is it the president? Is it my family? Is it my boss? It's Christ, and Christ takes preference over all these things. And so what I do is I also tie into this idea of kingship. I give it a biblical, historical treatment in my second chapter, where I talk about the importance of kingship as it relates to God and Christ, of course. And connected to that, the importance of morality, which is, again, connected to the king as lawgiver. I also deal, Chris, with, in my fourth chapter, Clash of Worldviews, I talk about the various worldviews that that seek to undermine the supremacy of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, the Apostle Paul is very clear that we take every thought captive to obedience to Jesus Christ. Every thought that seeks to present itself above the knowledge of God, we take that thought captive and make it obedient. So again, that's regal language. That's the language of submitting an enemy to the king, making them submissive to the king. I also deal with sexual identity. That's a big one, of course, in the West, the idea of what makes a man, a woman, what makes us, why are we made in these two binary genders of male and female? And I connect that, of course, with God's regal image. That language of image of God doesn't just mean that we are special above the animal kingdom, but it carries royal connotations because the image of God was used of the king. And then I talk about the so-called social justice that we see in the West today that is pretending to be justice but is not. There's nothing social about it, and there's nothing just about it. And I talk about how real justice is rooted in Christ himself. And that is why in the Psalms it speaks of God's throne. His throne is established on justice and righteousness. And so justice is closely related to this king. I also talk about the battle for truth, why Christians must never compromise truth. In fact, truth today, speaking the truth is the new hate speech in the West, and just to speak the truth will land you in trouble. And as you know, Chris, I've mentioned this before, I've lost a position at a seminary because of taking a stand for truth and calling out corrupt political leaders. And then what I also do, Chris, is I talk about the whole concept of Antichrist. This was a very important concept for John Bunyan, for example, when he was in prison because he didn't have a license to preach under the Church of England's rules, and he stayed there while his wife and children suffered tremendously. And John Bunyan wrote a book. I'm not sure if you know this, but he wrote a book called Antichrist and His Ruin. And in there, he goes into great detail about why Antichrist must be destroyed because he has defied the Son of God. And in that work, Bunyan goes into great detail about how Antichrist is the anti-king, that he is the usurper, the
the pseudo king, the pretending king, the puppet king, and so forth. So I just what I do, Chris, is I develop that idea of Antichrist versus Christ. This is again the pseudo king versus the rightful king, and I take it right back to Genesis 3:15 with the seed of the woman versus the seed of the serpent, and how those seeds represent those who belong to Christ. The seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent are those obviously who belong to the pseudo king, the anti king. And then I conclude the book with also talking about the effects of culture Marxism on the church and society at large. And what I do there, Chris, is I argue that our churches, to their own shame, have opened the door to things like critical race theory. You know, the Southern Baptist Convention came very close to voting on this, to bringing this into its churches, and we are seeing already the devastation that has caused. Here in Canada, I've seen churches literally split because of this idea of critical race theory and white privilege and so forth. So all of that to say, Chris, that these are all attempts to undermine the rightful authority of our King Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. And that is why it is so pernicious. And it is really diabolical at its root level.
By the way, for those of you listening who were unable to attend a number of years ago, and perhaps Dr. Costa can remind me of what year it was, because it was more than 5 years ago.
Yes.
And I'm 62 going on 63 next month, and I'm just totally losing my memory. But Dr. Costa was talking about the infiltration of Marxism into the Christian church before most people were doing that, before it was in vogue to expose social justice, even before that really became a commonly used phrase of the left, but before the term woke was commonly used. I'm not even sure you used the word woke in your entire presentation back then, because nobody...
right.
To my mind.
No, it wasn't used yet.
Yeah, so this was a Iron Sharpens Zion Radio Pastor's Luncheon held right here in Carlisle. And our mutual friend David Wood, another apologist specializing in Islam, he filmed that event.
Yes.
And
he did, and he also filmed the debate with Sungenis at the theater.
Yes, that's right. And so if anybody wants to look up that speaking engagement, you know, I used to type in Tony Costa, Iron Sharpens Iron, Pastor's Luncheon on Marxism, and that would come right up. Now, it's right now, I was trying to do that, and it wasn't coming up, so I'm not sure if YouTube took it down.
I did upload it to my channel, Chris, so if they go to my channel, Toronto Apologetics YouTube channel, it's still there. So they
can
bring up Tony Costa, Cultural Marxism. If they put my name down in Cultural Marxism, it'll be the first hit.
Yeah, that was a remarkable presentation. That was a mind blower and an eye opener to me, because, as I was saying, you were exposing things that were not more commonly discussed as they are now. They're discussed frequently, especially by people that you and I have high esteem for. But
yes,
back then it was, you know, kind of a taboo issue to bring that up. And mm-hmm. I was amazed to see even our black brethren very pleased with your attack on Black History Month, exposing that
yes.
as just another tool of the Marxist leftists.
Very much so.
Dr. Costa will repeat that information about his own YouTube channel toward the end of the program. What advice do you have to our brothers and sisters who are waging war with each other over our differences on issues like Christian nationalism and theonomy and separation of church and state and obedience to the secular authorities on what, to what level do we do that? There are really harsh battles going on verbally and in writing, people disfellowshipping each other, people canceling conference speaking engagements that they were invited to participate in. And I'm talking about people that you and I know personally and love. How do we, without compromising our beliefs,
I may have lost.
Can you hear me now, brother? Tony, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay.
Yes.
How do we cool down the temperature in regard to this heat that sometimes far exceeds light and the differences that we have?
Yes. Yeah, it's what I call we minor in the majors and we major in the minors. And I think the most important thing here, Chris, is we need to remind ourselves that the Great Commission is first and foremost the gospel. We need to stop dividing ourselves over nationalism and all these other issues. Our primary focus is the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. So the gospel is our primary focus, and we ought not to let the enemy use these tertiary matters to split us and to divide us. Because, you know, I take the pan theory as well, Chris, that the Lord is going to pan it out. When he returns, he's going to pan it all out, and it's his kingdom we're looking for, and we need to remain gospel-centered, gospel-focused. The world needs the good news of Jesus Christ. What it doesn't need is to see Christians dividing amongst themselves and arguing over post-mill, you know, pre-mill, a-mill, and not to say none of those things are important. They are. They have their place. But our primary focus is the gospel. We need to preach Jesus Christ to the nations. That's the Great Commission. And so I think as long as we remain focused on that as our primary objective, I think that we're on the right spot.
I praise God for that. Let's see. We have Alfred, who is located in Searcy, Arkansas, who wants to know, have you found there are people opposing your views because the opposition to what you are writing about is rooted in their eschatological differences from you? And that would... I was just going to say, and that's not just post-millennialists that might have a different view. There are dispensationalists, for instance, that might disagree with you. And
Yeah. So far, I'll be honest with you, Chris, I've heard nothing but positive remarks from those in all those camps. So I've not heard any critique yet. I mean, it's not to say there won't be, maybe a forthcoming book review, but so far I've heard nothing but positive commentary on the book, and the endorsers that I chose came from a wide spectrum of eschatological points of view, but they gave nothing but very high commendations for the book.
Praise God for that. We have Terrence in Vestavia Hills, Alabama, and I'm wondering if Terrence knows my very dear friend, the Reverend Roger Salter, a Reformed and biblically faithful Anglican minister there in that area. But Terrence in Vestavia Hills, Alabama, says, what should we do to get our churches more involved in fighting the secular rivals to Christ's kingship without disobeying any biblical guidelines that blur the gospel and make it a secondary or tertiary issue?
Yeah, I think that as Christians, we do have to,
we do have an obligation to our elected officials. And so what that means is that we ought to be praying for those in authority, as 1 Timothy 2:1-2 points out. And at the same time, I think that it is also helpful to stay in contact with your state representatives, those in authority. Tell them that you're praying for them. Tell them that you want to see righteousness upheld. You want to see the rights of the unborn protected. In other words, you are the salt of the earth. You do have an effect on the earth. Jesus calls us to be the light of the world. And so it doesn't mean that we are just going to become hermits and hide away in a monastery somewhere and have no contact with the outside world. I think it's important that, and again, you may differ on whether or not to be involved in politics or whether you Christians should be involved in politics, but it is important for us to keep our elected officials accountable. They are elected by the people. And so your influence on them, your biblical influence on them is extremely important. And also to remain true to Christ in the workplace, for example. People are under pressure not to discuss Christmas or Easter, or they're under pressure not to talk about Islam or whatever it may be, or LGBTQ rights. I think as Christians, we need to, especially the United States, you guys have a very powerful constitution that protects your freedom, which is the First Amendment, and take advantage of that. And again, don't be ashamed of your faith. Don't be ashamed of Christ. He was not ashamed of us when he hung naked between heaven and earth for you and I. And so we ought to have the same boldness for Christ that the LGBTQ have for their rights, so-called rights, and the Muslims in the United States who have no problem going through the streets and screaming intifada against Israel, they're not ashamed of declaring their position. Why should Christians be ashamed?
Yes, indeed. Well, we have to go to our final break, and if anybody wants to join us with a question for Dr. Tony Costa, please submit it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. If you live outside the USA, don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And Valentine's Day is right around the corner, so if you have not yet purchased a Valentine's Day gift for that special loved one, or if you want to buy something extra special on top of what you already purchased, please go to royaldiadem.com, browse through what they have available, because obviously for Valentine's Day, you don't have enough time for a custom-designed piece of jewelry. It's just coming up too soon. But they have a lot of stuff already in stock that you could choose from. Pick something and have it overnighted to yourself or to that special loved one so that it arrives in time for Valentine's Day. And if you want to purchase a custom-designed, one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry, perhaps Mother's Day, you'll have enough time to get something like that to your mom or any mom in your life, whether it's your own daughter who happens to be a mother or any other special woman who is a mother. Mother's Day is a long enough time. It's far off into the future enough for you to get a one-of-a-kind, specialized, custom-designed piece of jewelry to that loved one. Whichever the case, please go to royaldiadem.com to place your order. Royaldiadem.com, you're going to be killing two birds with one stone, because not only are you going to be getting a gorgeous, breathtaking, head-turning piece of jewelry for someone you love, you're also going to be helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, because they are giving 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener as long as that listener mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they make their purchase. That's royaldiadem.com. Mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I also want to quickly thank two new advertisers whose ads you're going to be hearing in the very near future, perhaps as early as next week or soon after that. First of all, we welcome as a new annual sponsor of the show, Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And if you want more details about this very fine congregation, go to trbccarlisle.org, trbccarlisle.org. And also, Lebanon Federal Credit Union in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Go to lebanonfcu.org, lebanonfcu.org. We want to thank both Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and Lebanon Federal Credit Union of Lebanon, Pennsylvania, for their generosity and thinking highly enough of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to put valuable financial resources towards keeping this program going. And don't forget, folks, this program is also paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, call 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. And please mention to Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Well, Dr. Costa, we're now back to continue our conversation on No King But Christ. And how do you personally, not only when you conduct yourself having a dialogue with those outside of the body of Christ about this very topic, and not only how do you conduct yourself in that communication, but what recommendations do you have so people don't get the wrong idea of what you are pursuing, and most of the time, whether it is a genuine objection or something that they're just using as an excuse to oppose us, the whole theocracy accusation is thrown up, as you were earlier trying to distance yourself from that idea. But if you could, what do you do, and what do you recommend we do?
Well, I think we need to recognize that until the Lord Jesus Christ returns, there will be no perfect government. That's clearly taught in Scripture. That's why we pray for His kingdom to come. And that's why the book Revelation ends with the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem, and with the promise in Revelation 11:15 that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever. And so until that day comes, we know in part, as Paul says, and we prophesy in part, we are still here in this world, and we see through a glass dimly. And we need to recognize, however, that notwithstanding the sinful condition of our world and our governments, that Christ is on the throne, that He is now enthroned. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and He's there until His enemies are made His footstool. And then, at a time known to the triune God, Christ will come again, and He will usher in that everlasting kingdom of peace that the church has been praying for almost 2,000 years. We also need to recognize, Chris, that whether people acknowledge Christ as king in terms of unbelievers, the outside world, we need to maintain once again that because the Lord Jesus Christ is the God-man, He is by virtue of His deity the creator of all men and women, and that they are ultimately accountable to Him, whether they recognize Him as king or not. He is still king. And our prayer is that they come to know Him, they owe their lives to Him, and that He is the one that they will stand before one day, either as Savior or Judge. And so this King, as we're told in Psalm 2, that
It says, kiss the sun, lest he be angry, O you kings of the earth, be wise. Kiss the sun, lest he be angry, and his wrath is kindled in a moment. And then it says, it ends with the words in Psalm 212, it says, blessed are all those who take refuge in him. And so that is our mission, is to proclaim this king who has crown rights over all things. And I love that quote by Abraham Kuyper, where he says, there is no place in all of creation, no square inch in all of creation, that Christ does not cry, mine. It is his by divine right. And so we need to keep affirming this, Chris. And, you know, when I wrote this book, it had nothing to do with Candace Owens. This was before the whole Candace Owens thing started. But we affirm Christ as king. Our Jewish, unbelieving Jewish friends who still, you know, have the veil over their eyes, as Paul says, when the Old Testament is read, they don't see him. They don't see their Messiah, but he is still king nonetheless. And it's our prayer that one day, as Paul says, all Israel shall be saved, that they will finally turn and recognize the one whom they rejected and whom they esteemed stricken and smitten of God, that he is truly the King and the Messiah of God.
Okay. We have Goldie in Ottumwa, Iowa. And Goldie says, isn't it really just a smokescreen when leftists accuse conservatives and Christians specifically of imposing our religious views upon an entire nation when they, in reality, are making efforts and always have made efforts to do the same thing, even if they refuse to use the word religion or religious to identify their ideology? It is nonetheless a view that involves an understanding of God, even if it's his non-existence, and a correction or refutation or dismissal of biblical truths. So therefore, their views are religious no matter what they say.
Yes, and she's absolutely right, Chris, because I addressed that in the chapter on Clash of Worldviews. And everyone has a worldview. You know, the person that says they don't have a worldview, that's their worldview, that they don't have a worldview. Everyone begins somewhere. There's a starting point. And so everyone has a worldview. And D.K. Chesterton was correct. When people stop believing in God, he said, they don't just stop believing, they'll believe in anything. They'll find a substitute. And so, people have always sought to impose the worldviews. You know, the communists offered the utopia, this world peace of no class distinctions. But of course, the utopia is the communist version of the kingdom of God. They simply supplanted and relabel it by another term. And the same thing with the social justice warriors. Their whole point is to eradicate Judeo-Christian principles, to eradicate Christianity, and keep white people in an eternal original sin that they can never release themselves from, of being guilty of the slave trade and colonization and so forth and so on. And so it brings us back to, again, Antichrist versus Christ, that Antichrist is the attempt to undermine the true king and to rule in his place. And so all governments have their own religious ideals, and they may not refer to it as God, but their ideals are substitutes for God and for his laws and so forth. And so they're all, at the end of the day, that they are all counterfeits that try to rule in the place of the rightful king.
Praise God. And the things that we have in common in the body of Christ over these issues, as important as those differences are, I'm not trying to minimize the importance of the differences that amillennial and postmillennial and premillennial and pre-mill pre-tribulationalist folks, partial preterist futurists, we have differences when it comes to how we approach a Christian's response to a secular authority that has certain demands upon us. And we have to cipher between that which is obligated by every believer to obey when a secular authority is setting down a law or a prohibition, and also recognizing that which is nothing but the demands of tyranny. And I think that most of us in the body of Christ, in spite of our very strong differences on eschatology and how the obedience to governing authorities comes to play, we have a lot of commonality in these core areas, do we not?
Yes, we do.
Not being a doormat to tyrants.
No, of course, of course. So we obey God and we oppose tyrants. And so we need to keep that balance though, Chris. You know, Romans 13, when Paul wrote Romans 13, he's writing when you had a very wicked emperor, Nero, in charge of the Roman Empire. And the Apostle Paul could say that he is a servant of God, that he is the word servant there, the diakonos, like we get the word deacon from. He's a minister of God, as King James, I think, translates it, a minister of God to punish evil and to reward the good. And so we need to understand that all governments that exist have been put there. They obtain and derive their authority from God. How they use that authority, they'll be held accountable for. And so we need to obey the authorities because they are of God, Romans 13. Peter reminds us again that we ought to fear God, obey the king, and we ought to pray for those in authority. In my church, Chris, where I'm pastoring here in Toronto, we pray, being a constitutional monarchy, Canada, part of the Commonwealth, we pray for the head of state, we pray for the king, Charles III, and then we work our way down through the prime minister, and then the premier of our province, and then the mayor of our city, and then the military and our police forces. And so we do that every Sunday because we're commanded to pray for those in authority that we may lead peaceful lives. And so there has to be that degree of respect for authority. But at the same time, we know these authorities are here and gone the next day. We recognize behind all of this, ultimately, there is our King, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is the true sovereign over all things, to whom all things are subsumed and in subjection. And it's to him that we shall give an account. And, you know, we look forward to the day where the prophet said that the Lord shall be king over all the earth and his name shall be one. And that day will come. And we pray speedily that Maranatha, that our Lord will come and that he will bring about the consummation of the ages, and God will be all in all and be old and be glorified.
And if you could, there is a lot of abuse, probably especially by the left, but also those that would identify as conservative, some. There's a lot of abuse in regard to the famous phrase, separation of church and state. A lot of people wrongly attribute that to the Constitution. It's not in the Constitution. What is in the Constitution, and I know that's not a Canadian document, but I know that you're familiar with it. The First Amendment teaches that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The leftists always forget that second part.
Right.
But that's in regard to Congress making a law that establishes in a religion. It is not meant to convey the idea that Christians and religious people in general are to remain silent in the public square when it comes to political issues.
Right.
And there are even conservatives who misunderstand these things. But if you could.
Yes. Yes. I mean, yeah, the way I look at it, Chris, is that these are spheres of authority that
there's this political sphere, of course. Obviously, there's the medical sphere, medical science, and of course, we have the kingdom of God that oversees all of them, the king. But you're absolutely right. It doesn't mean that we are to stay silent or become like the Mennonites that are so completely divorced, or the Amish from the government. And we can talk about this, I guess, another time. But a lot of that has to do with the fact that the governments made agreements with the Mennonites not to become political and not to get involved. And that's a subject for another day, Chris. But you're absolutely right. It, separation of church and state, that idea does not mean that Christians should have nothing at all to do with politics or political influence. We ought to keep that balance, keep that healthy balance. Now, mind you, of course, our Baptist ancestors and the Puritans of the Baptistic tradition were heavily influential in the drafting of the Constitution, because we know that, as you know, Chris, Benjamin Franklin and Adams knew George Whitefield, and Benjamin Franklin would often go to the fields of Massachusetts to hear Whitefield preach. And of course, they read John Locke, the Englishman John Locke, who also spoke about the pursuit of happiness and life and liberty and the concepts of private property. These were men who were influenced by the Puritans of England, who then came to obviously to New England. They made it very clear that the freedom of religion is something that should be cherished, and freedom of speech, and but that never was meant to communicate that Christians were never to take part in anything political. So yeah, you're absolutely right there, Chris.
We have Heidi in Milwaukee, Oregon. I didn't even know there was a Milwaukee, Oregon. And Heidi wants to know, did you have time to exegete what Jesus was actually saying when he said to his disciples, render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar's, and unto God those things that belong to God? There is even disagreement amongst conservative Christians over this.
Yeah. So this goes back to what I was saying about fear, authority, governmental authority, et cetera. And so what Jesus in the Gospels, what they were trying to do were basically, they're trying to frame him. So they were basically asking him, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And so it was a trick question, because if he answered it in the affirmative that it was right to pay taxes to Caesar, then they would accuse him of being in cahoots with the Romans and that he was a treasonous Jew towards his own people. If he said no, then they would charge him with insurrection, that he was opposing the emperor, and therefore he was guilty of insurrection. What Jesus does is he splits the horns of the dilemma. So a dilemma puts you between a rock and a hard place. Instead of answering yes or no, Jesus splits the horns of the dilemma by saying, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. And so what Jesus is basically saying there is, you give Caesar his due. You pay your taxes. You obey government insofar as it doesn't violate any of God's precepts. And so those are two spheres of authority there. You give to God what belongs to God. Now, you don't give to Caesar what belongs to God. This is very important. You do not give to Caesar what belongs to God. God deserves our complete submission. We bend the knee to Christ our King, not to the government. So we give to God what is rightfully his. We don't give to Caesar what belongs to God. You give God what is his, and you render unto Caesar what is his. And so what that basically means is, Jesus is not calling for social unrest. He's not calling for a revolution. He's telling us to obey the authorities that are, give them what they are due. Paul says, render unto them taxes to whom taxes are owed, honor to whom honor is due, in Romans 13. So that's basically the exegesis, that you give God his due and you give Caesar his due. But that doesn't mean that God and Caesar are in the same boat. Those are two different spheres.
Well, I'd like you to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today about your book And before I forget to let our listeners know, this is actually part two, or a revisiting of this topic that Tony and I had back in December of 2023, when we discussed No King But Christ. So you could go to the archive of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and listen to that later on as well. I don't know how much duplication we have done, but tell us what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today about this issue.
Yeah, I want our listeners to understand that again, our American friends, the idea of kingship may be foreign or a subject of disdain because of its history in the Revolution. But the kingship of Christ is central to his person. It's a Christological identity marker. It speaks of his supremacy over all things. And so the king in the ancient world, the king was the highest authority. That is why God was called king, first and foremost. And so when we speak of Christ as king, what we're saying is that he is the sovereign, that he is the one who rules by divine right. It is his right. It means that we submit to him. But the beautiful thing about this king is that for our salvation, this king set aside his crown. This king left his throne above, and he became incarnate. He became the servant king. He was not like the abusive kings who took and wielded incredible power to themselves. But this king set aside his power. He set aside his prerogatives, and he became a servant. And this is what true kingship is about. It's serving one another. The greatest among you, he said, will be he who serves. And so he came into the world to become our savior. He came into the world to become like us, that is flesh and blood without sin. And he came to be our savior. The king is also the savior of his people. He's the shepherd of his people. He's the one who delivers his people. And so he came down to where we were and lived a righteous life that you and I could not live. And he paid a debt that we could not pay. And so this king was born king. He was acclaimed king of the Jews by the Magi. He presented himself as the king of Israel, as the prophets predicted that he would. And this king on the cross bore the crown of thorns on his head, and he had the title above his head, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He was a king at birth, and he was a king at death, and he was a king in his resurrection. He conquered sin and death. And this is the difference between our Lord Jesus Christ, folks, is that all kings are born human and then become kings, but he is the only king who was always king but became human. And he came to, again, pay the penalty of our sins that we were unable to, we could not never seek pardon in and of ourselves. He took the penalty upon himself. The king took the penalty of his subjects upon himself, dies, rises again, and he ascended into heaven. His ascension was his coronation. At that point, that's where the Father said, "Sit at my right hand." The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." And so the question is, do you know this king? Do you know this king today? He is the only true king. He is a merciful king, a compassionate king, not an abusive king. And he has graciously called us to himself, and he's made us a kingdom of priests. He has made us a royal priesthood to share with him, and ultimately to share in his glory in the future, to reign with him. And so if you don't know this king, today is the day. I pray that he will be your savior, not your judge. Remember what happened in Washington, D.C. Our lives are, we are on borrowed time. Our lives can be taken from us at any moment. All those folks in that American Airlines flight did not know that today would have been their last day on this planet. So always be ready, because we have to give an account. And I pray that you come to know him as savior today.
Amen. And could you please remind our listeners how they can purchase your book, and also how they can visit your YouTube channel?
Yeah, the book is available on Amazon. So if you're in the United States, Amazon.com, just do a search,
Tony Costa, Toronto, Tony Costa, No King But Christ. In Canada, it's Amazon.ca. And of course, you can get it anywhere you have internet access. My YouTube channel is Toronto Apologetics. Just go to YouTube, punch in Tony Costa and Toronto, and it'll pop up. It'll be the first hit.
And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner. God bless.
Amen. God bless.